And thank you for the joy and privilege of sharing God's word with you this evening. The word that we read in Corinthians and the word that we read in the Gospel of John are some of the most inspiring passages of the New Testament. And they describe the wonder of resurrection. Of course, it's the account of the death and resurrection, both of Lazarus and then in Corinthians of Christ, but also in Corinthians of our resurrection at the coming of Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not presented with arguments defending it. It's simply presented as a historical fact. The apostles, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, he says the 11 were witnesses, then 500 were witnesses, finally Paul was a witness, and he says it's simply a historical fact. We are witnesses. And all these witnesses were preachers of the gospel. They preached that truth is the ultimate virtue, that we love the truth, and that to lie and to dishonor the truth, bear false witness, is a terrible sin. And they preached everywhere the truth and the love of the truth, and they preached the resurrection. Paul went so far as to say that if Christ be not raised from the dead, then we apostles are liars, because we are witnessing that we have seen him risen from the dead. And that is the witness of the apostles there in 1 Corinthians 15. So the message is that Christ came to the tomb of the human race. When he died on that cross, he came to the very depth of the darkness and the sin and the lost condition of the world. He who knew no sin, he who had no sin, had never done any wrong, he came to the tomb of the human race, to the darkness. And he died our death. He died for us. He took our place. I remember many years ago in my country, the United Kingdom, there was a terrorist act when a terrorist threw a grenade into a crowded waiting room, a bomb. And there were many people there. They had about 10 seconds. There in the crowded waiting room was also a soldier on duty in uniform. Everyone looked at the soldier. What would he do? Would he give instruction how to get out? Would he show the way by running out first? I don't know if it was his training. I've heard this happen more than one occasion. But the soldier went over to the bomb and laid his body over it. When the bomb exploded, he absorbed all the blast. He died. I guess his blood was even staining the room, but even possibly on many of the people. He had saved them by the sacrifice of himself. And that's the message of the gospel, that Christ died our death. He took the full force and weight of the punishment that was due us for our sins. There is darkness in us. There is sin in us. There are things in us that are not good, not right. But Christ died to forgive us our sin, to die our death, but also to transform us and to change our life by the power of his Holy Spirit. So Christ came to the tomb of the human race and he died our death. And when we think of experiencing the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, well, we have here in John's Gospel this amazing story of how Christ allowed a man, he led him in one way to die by faith and raised him from the dead. And when we think of our experience of resurrection, the first experience of resurrection is not after we die. The first experience of resurrection is actually right here, because Christ wants to raise us from the darkness that is in our hearts and give us resurrection life. Now, I speak in India quite often, and I've just come back from India. In fact, I came back from Andhra Pradesh last Thursday, one of those horrible flights that goes through the night. You feel like you've traveled millions of miles, and it's not that far. But I came back from Andhra Pradesh. When I go there and I preach on the death and resurrection of Christ, there's a number of Telugu words. I don't know if there are any Telugu speakers here. Any Telugu speakers here? Oh, there's somebody at the back there. You can correct me. I speak fluent Telugu, but only seven words. But I'm going to teach you two words tonight, two Telugu words. The first word is Gongali Purugu. Is that right? Did I get a nod? Gongali Purugu. Gongali Purugu means caterpillar. And it's made up of two words. Gongali is a blanket. Purugu is an insect. And it's an insect covered with a heavy blanket. That's how it's seen in that language. And then the Gongali Purugu goes into a cocoon, weaves a cocoon like a coffin. And it dies, if you like. Symbolically, it dies in an image, in a picture. It's as if God has given us a Sunday school picture of death and resurrection. And it goes into the cocoon, it spends some weeks there. In that cocoon, its form completely changes. Beforehand, the caterpillar certainly can't fly. It isn't that beautiful. There are some very hairy, ugly caterpillars. And it goes in there, it changes its form. Beforehand, it cannot lay eggs. It cannot drink nectar from the flowers. But in the cocoon, it changes completely. One of those amazing facts of creation that defy any explanation other than that God is the creator of this wonderful world. And then it makes its way out. It wriggles its way out, breaks the cocoon, and out it comes. But it doesn't come out as a Gongali Purugu, as a blank. That would be, if you like, resuscitation. That would be life after life. It would be life after death, but in the same form. The Gongali Purugu comes out as a Sitakoka Chiluka. What does that mean? Butterfly. What does Sita Koka Chiluka mean? It means Sita is one of the gods. Koka is a sari. You know the Indian saris, the beautiful clothes the ladies wear in India. A koka is a sari. And a chiluka is a bird. So it dies as an insect covered with a heavy blanket. And it comes out as a bird with divine clothing. And that is a picture to us so helpful of death and resurrection. The whole process we're describing here in the Bible, the whole process that's described to us, is not just life continuing. It's the miracle that God effected when Christ died. A miracle that transforms us from one state into another. If our hearts are heavy, with some heavy blanket, some darkness, some grief, some regret, some sin, something that's really troubling our lives, tonight we can go into that place of the cross. And the place where we experience death and resurrection is the place where we bow in repentance and surrendering our lives to Christ. In that place, there is a miracle takes place. Christ speaks life into us. It's a resurrection. And Christ called the name of Lazarus. He called into the tomb and he called him out by name, because this is not just a general miracle, it's a personal miracle. Now, when Lazarus died, it's certainly also true that Lazarus didn't want to die. He resisted it. Maybe he thought there could be some easier answer for his problems, maybe some healing for his sickness. And that tells us that really God's answer for our need is radical. God says, surrender who you are, and I will give you a gift of a good death and an amazing resurrection. When I use the words a good death, that's a very strange phrase to use. But remember, we use it once a year when we say Good Friday, the day that Christ died. How can there be a good death? The answer is that when we surrender to Christ and we give him who we are, then at that point, what dies in us are the negative things. It isn't the positive things that die, it's the negative things. It's the selfishness, the unbelief. All kinds of negative things simply fall away and die. And by that moment, we are introduced into something that is wonderful. Something lives in us. And what lives is love, depths of love. The power of Christ inside us. It's a wonderful resurrection. And we unfold our wings and we're amazed that before we had no power to pray. We had no spiritual awareness. But now by the miracle of Christ's work in our heart, we have amazing abilities imparted to us, just as the transformation from a caterpillar, a gongoli purugu, to a sita kokuchiluka. We are birds, if you like, set free to fly and soar in God's spirit and love and worship God, something we were never able to do before. The miracle of death and resurrection is to be experienced now. It's what is pictured by our baptism. Baptism itself, according to Romans chapter 6, is that we may lose the old life and have resurrection life. As the people of God, we are of resurrection. We are not of the grave. We are not of death. Once we have experienced this inner miracle, and that's the first vital experience, the transforming power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ applied to us when we surrender to him, when we give our lives to him, that's our first experience of death and resurrection. Once we've experienced that joy that comes in full surrender to Christ, when we've given our lives to him, at that moment, through that whole process, as we come through, we now have an anticipation of the wonderful things that await us when we leave this world. The person who has tasted that wonderful death and that wonderful resurrection has an awareness of eternal things, eternity, and an awareness of coming heaven, coming glory through heaven itself. When Jesus died, a man died beside him, and Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus said that on Good Friday. He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Of course, the astonishing thing is that although he was in paradise by the end of that day, and when Christ died, he went to paradise. When that man who repented beside Jesus died, he went to paradise. When he opened his eyes, he saw Jesus. The first thing he saw when he died was Jesus Christ. But here's the interesting thing, that neither of them, neither Jesus nor that man, rose from the dead that very day. They were not in resurrection bodies in paradise. And this teaches us that when we die, we don't immediately experience resurrection. When we die, we go to be with the Lord. It describes this in different ways. The best way I think that can be described is those words itself. Paradise. You will be with me and you will be in paradise. When we have this hope, when we die, we know we go to be with the Lord. But then the Bible tells us in the passage in Corinthians that there is at the end of time a great miracle awaiting the people of God. When we die, we continue to live as a spirit in heaven. We live in the presence of God. We live in the paradise of God. But the day is coming when we will receive a new body, the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ received his resurrection body, his new body, if you like, there on that third day. He is the first to rise from the dead in that way. And that resurrection is, as we've already said, a transformation. In 1 Corinthians, he quotes a question by somebody in Corinth. Somebody in Corinth wrote to Paul and said, "With what body will we come in the resurrection?" Paul wrote rather a curt reply. He said, "Oh, you fool." He said, "What a foolish question." He said, "We don't know with what body we will come in the resurrection. But what we do know is that the difference between our body today and our body in the resurrection is the same difference between a seed and an orchid." When I look in my hand to say at some seeds, they look like bits of earth, dust, dirt even. But when I sow them in the ground and they die there, when that seed germinates and is raised from the dead, out of it comes the most amazing orchids, the most beautiful flowers. And Paul says, you cannot imagine what is going to happen to you in the resurrection of your body. All you know, and we read the comparison in the scriptures, we die with corruption, we die with weakness, we die with all the weaknesses of our human body, but we are raised in glory, we are raised in incorruption. And when you think about it, we go back to our picture of the Gongoli Purugu and the Sita Kokachiluka, the caterpillar and the butterfly. When we rise from the dead on the last day, we will have a resurrection body that is so different from anything we've ever known before. The Christian hope is not just for life that goes on and on and on. Somebody, I remember an 8-year-old boy once said to me, "Pastor, is eternity going to be singing songs like in church forever? Isn't it going to be rather boring?" And I said, "Well, it would be if it was just that. But it isn't. It's life on a different level. It's life with a different order of life. We were created with a purpose in view. And God has never lost that purpose from view. He still has that plan and he will fulfill it." And this is why Paul said that he counts everything but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He does everything within his power so that he may attain the resurrection from the dead. He says, "I don't want to miss that resurrection. That resurrection is going to be so amazing, so beautiful, so life, so much color, so much that we cannot imagine." The Bible even says that when Christ appears and we are raised, we shall be like him as he is. We shall have new minds, new bodies. We shall have new abilities. We shall soar with life and hope. We shall explore. Eternity is going to be a place of wonder a place of beauty, a place of color, a place of worship. It is going to be a place where our bodies are going to be like the bird with God's clothing. Now, when we look at this, that's our hope for the future. But let's return to Lazarus. Let's return to Lazarus in his state of sickness. Here's Lazarus, he's struggling, he's in pain, he's got problems, if you like, and that's what we are like. It's a picture of us. We struggle, we want an answer, and often we want an answer to our problems that is easy. Just give me a quick, easy answer. And God says, I'm bringing you to a deeper answer than you ever realized. And that answer is to surrender your life into the hands of Jesus Christ at the cross to experience the power of his cross, to experience the wonder of death and resurrection. And that place is a place of total surrender. Lazarus died, I believe, by faith. I believe his sisters, reading the story, they were trying to make it all the problems go away, but God was saying to this man and to this family, I have a deeper answer than you have ever imagined. I'm not just going to put a plaster on your problems. I'm going to give you life, resurrection life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am going to do something so deep in your life that will change the person you are. I'm going to give you what will be like a new birth. And you shall have an inner glow, an inner radiance, life within, life forevermore. The hope of resurrection begins at that moment when we surrender to Jesus Christ. When I think of this, I think of people I know, I think of testimonies you've heard. I've been watching them on the video here earlier before the service. People whose lives were changed by surrendering to Jesus. I think of people I've known, alcoholics, drug addicts, people with heavy blankets. I've known people with depressions and so on. Changed, transformed, surrendering to Jesus at the cross. I also think of Charles Colson, that politician in America who simply wept one day and surrendered his life to Christ, and the change in his direction. Before that, he was a cunning politician trying to pull the wool over everybody's eyes. Now he became a man concerned with the poor, concerned with the weak. The power of the cross, the power of resurrection is ours. It's here, right this night. We're not just talking about the future. When we think of the future, there's amazing glory for us. There's life after death, and there's a coming resurrection. There's a new world, and the scriptures witness of an amazing world coming, and that world is prepared for us. But it begins right here and now in moments like this when we surrender to him and receive that new life from above. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That scripture was read. When you think about never dying, you might think, well, we're all going to die, aren't we? But he's not talking about physical death at that moment. He's talking about the fact that when we come to Christ and receive that life, we lose that inner darkness, we lose that heavy blanket, we lose that inner heaviness, meaninglessness of life, and we find the power of resurrection in Jesus Christ himself. And he's just a prayer away. He's just that moment of surrender away. And the moment we surrender, light goes on. Something happens within, and it's called resurrection. We are, as Christians, a people of resurrection. We don't believe it just coming. We believe it's ours now by faith. An inner transformation, a new life, taking us from one kind of life into another. Truly, resurrection is the center of the Christian's hope, both in this life, right now, right this evening, but also in death and in the ultimate coming of Christ and the bringing in of a new world. Please may I pray with you. Let us just bow our heads in prayer. And while we pray, I invite you to surrender your life into the hands of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you died for my sins. You died that cruel death. You died my death. You died to take away the heavy blanket of darkness from my heart. And you rose again. You rose again for me. You gave me a door of escape from meaninglessness, from emptiness, into a new life. And now, Jesus Christ, I surrender my life into your hands again. Take my life. Be my life. Come in and breathe new resurrection life deep into me. And thank you, Jesus, that through this, I have hope of eternal life and one day of rising again to an amazing life in the kingdom of God. And I pray this prayer with joy in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.